This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last month, Governor Greg Abbott sent a letter to former Judge John Specia, Commissioner of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. In it, Abbott called for a comprehensive reform to our state's struggling foster care and child protective systems. He asked for $40 million more for new funding for the chronically underfunded and understaffed department and increased oversight of child safety placement situations when children are placed with friends or relatives. The governor wrote, "Abuse and neglect of our most vulnerable Texans, our children, is intolerable and is especially intolerable when it happens to the child under the care umbrella of the state of Texas." So what is the state of child protection today in Texas? What needs to be done to fix these gaps in the system? Does the legislature have the political will to fix these problems? What do you want to see done? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this half hour by Texas State Senator Carlos Yureste, a San Antonio Democrat, Annette Rodriguez, the CEO of Children's Shelter, and Kim Abernathy, the president and CEO of ChildSafe. Welcome to The Source. All of you.
Thank you. Glad to be
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
Senator Yureste, this letter that came from Governor Abbott, what's your take on that?
It's music to my ears to hear Governor Abbott join us in what we've been trying to do for many years, which is get additional funding for child protective services. And I'm happy to report, in fact, I literally just got off the phone with Commissioner Specia, who's been a strong advocate when he was a judge and now is a commissioner for DFPS. But I'm happy to report that, at least in Senate Finance, we have put in an additional $40 million for prevention services, in addition to some other things that we've done as well for the department. So we're on the right track. It's looking a lot better than it has in the past. We still have a long way to go, I'll submit to you, but we're getting there. I'm feeling much more comfortable than I have in previous sessions.
$40 million, it's hard for me to really understand if that's enough money or not, because I know that there have been deep cuts in the past. There's been some restoration of funding, but it doesn't seem to have kept up with the need. So what's your take on the $40 million? Is that enough?
Well, it's in addition to $90 million that was in the base budget. So we're at least in the Senate budget, we're proposing an additional $40 million to the $90 million that will be spent on prevention services. So is it enough? No. When you have 66,000 kids that are confirmed victims of child abuse and neglect, that means we could do a whole lot more. But I feel much more comfortable than I have in the past. I'd love to see more, and I'm still advocating and fighting for more funding for prevention services, because the session's not over. We have two more months to go, so the fight's not over, and I'm going to keep trying.
There was talk going into the session of consolidation of some of these departments into the mega Texas Health and Human Services Department, and the Department of Family and Protective Services was part of this consolidation effort. That's the agency that handles child protective services. Is that still being talked about?
It is. In fact, that was the conversation that I was having with the commissioner, with Commissioner Specia, just moments ago. I believe what you'll see the Senate do next week is slow down that transition. It's not going to happen overnight. I think it's going to be delayed by 2 to 4 years because of the. It's a big move, and it doesn't just involve the Department of Family and Protective Services, one, and then two, given the turmoil that y'all talked about a few minutes ago with the Commissioner of Health and Human Services and the previous OIG, et cetera, I think a majority of us are saying, let's take a time out, let's slow this thing down a little bit.
Yeah, so the scandal with contracting from the Health and Human Services has been a problem. And so by putting it all into one mega agency, it seemed like oversight would even be more difficult, Senator.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's why we need to slow it down a little bit. And there was the Governor Abbott has really made this one of his top priorities, and I applaud him for that. And I say this, are the children of Texas, and especially those that are the most vulnerable. They came out with the Strike Force report this week, in fact, and it did not have very flattering things to say about the Health and Human Services Commission. And so in light of that, coupled with the sunset recommendations, many of us believe we need to just slow this down a little bit more.
So let's bring in Annette Rodriguez into our conversation. She's the CEO of the Children's Shelter here in San Antonio. So, Annette, what are your legislative priorities right now looking at the needs for better child protection in Texas?
Those are two-pronged. You know, we talked about prevention, and Senator Uresta has been a huge champion for prevention services, and so I want to applaud his efforts. But like he said, it's not enough. The DFPS budget total is about $1.6 billion, and prior to the $40 million that Senator just spoke about, prevention has only been 4% of that, and so we do have a ways to go. And so I'm glad to hear that an additional $40 million has gone in. But if we're going to get serious about reducing child abuse in our communities, then we need to get serious about it and put some serious dollars behind it. The other thing is we talk about adding dollars to the DFPS budget so that we can improve systems for the children. But that's only half of the system. The other half comes with the providers, like the Children's Shelter, who actually provide the care to children who can't be with their families. And so currently, right now, we get paid about 70 cents on every dollar to take care of these children. And so if we're going to provide quality care and help these children heal from the trauma that they've experienced, we need to get to a better place in terms of reimbursement so that we can provide quality care, provide the safety that these children need.
70 cents on a dollar, you're not going to stay in business very long with that model. I mean, how do you make up the difference?
We have to do a lot of fundraising. We go out to the community and we let them know what our funding gap is, and the community has been very generous, but we can't depend on that every single year.
But you're providing a service for the state of Texas for these children that need a safe place to go where they can be nurtured and try to get on the road to healing after they've gone through some traumatic experiences, and and you're losing money in the process.
Absolutely. We pretty much become their parent by proxy. We have to provide all the things that a parent would provide: education, clothes, toys, recreational activities, medical services, mental health services, everything that a child needs and wants for, the things that we need to provide. And we want to provide it to the best of our ability and, you know, give them what they deserve. And 70 cents just isn't cutting it.
So, Senator Gadeste, does that seem like something that could be shored up?
It's something we're working on. I'll tell you, Annette's exactly right. I agree with her 110%. They do a wonderful job at the Children's Shelter for our kids. And, you know, it's a tragedy when they end up in a shelter. But if you have to be somewhere, you know, thank goodness we have the Children's Shelter here in San Antonio. But she's right. We need to do a better job. We do have money. State of Texas has money that we can invest wisely. And this is one of those programs that it makes sense to. And I would add that, you know, we not only have a legal obligation to these children, but we have a moral obligation to these children. So it's incumbent upon us as legislators to step up and say we need to do a better job, because we shouldn't shortchange our kids and the shelters either.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to open up the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about child abuse, child protection in San Antonio. We're going to talk about cardboard kids and more when we come back. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the state of foster care and child protective services in Texas right now. Governor Abbott is asking for $40 million more in new funding for this agency, an agency critically important for us in the state. And we've seen some failures in the past year. 9 children died while under the care umbrella of a CPS. We invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. And let's get Denise on the air. Denise, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Hi. You're on the air.
My comment is about in San Antonio, generally, we are a Hispanically predominant community. Me, myself, I have been a victim of abuse, child abuse. Now in my adulthood, I have unfortunately been accused of child abuse, and I have been through the CPS system. Having said that, I think prevention is where this money needs to go. In 10 years, 15 years for the next generation, we will have a smaller size of children being put in foster care. You know, like I said, as a Hispanic community, we are predominantly, we make jokes about, like, the chancla. This is a predominantly violent, we have violent upbringing. So I think it's important to invest in preventative care for the children.
All right, Denise, thank you for your comments. We appreciate that. And so let me ask you about that, Kim Abernathy. You're the president and CEO of ChildSafe. And right now you are launching your annual campaign to help raise awareness about child abuse in San Antonio. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, we're doing our Cardboard Kid campaign again. This year we have over 20,000 cardboard kids that will go out into the community on April 9th. And for us, we think prevention, of course, is critical. If we don't add that piece and we only provide the care, then we're not solving the problem. And having this prevention money at the state level is super important, but we also feel it's important to engage our community, our corporate leaders, because this is not just a DFPS problem. It's not just a state issue. It's a community problem. And so if we can provide people with training, prevention, awareness, then we can get the whole community to wrap around and help. And I think, you know, I know that Senator Uresti believes in that because that's what the Blue Ribbon Task Force is about. We're having town hall meetings. The more people we can get to be comfortable talking about child abuse and helping support the prevention of it, I think the better our community is going to be.
You know, I want to swing back around to something else that Denise said, which was talking about the Latino community and the culture of it. And this is not something that you can pigeonhole to any particular culture. It's in every culture, every demographic, every ethnic group, you've got this. All right, so let's not talk about it in those terms, but I appreciate what she's saying, but it's a bigger, wider problem than that.
We see children in every zip code in the city, every single zip code, and our statistics are about equal with the percentage of Hispanic as our population. So we don't see any more Hispanic families. It's right on with the division in our community, but every zip code we see kids, confirmed cases of abuse.
So Annette Rodriguez, CEO of the San Antonio Children's Shelter, I know another legislative issue that you're looking at is better training when we have, we bring in family members to become foster parents. Care.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? What are the concerns?
Well, some of the concerns is that some of the foster parents out there may not be receiving the appropriate training. And so one of the bills that's on the table right now is to increase the amount of training that's required of a foster family before they're able to get certified and able to receive a child in their home. So currently, a foster family can receive 8 hours of training as long as it's not a special needs child, and they can become certified to become a foster family and receive a child. The bill that's on the table now is trying to increase that to 35 hours. So giving that foster family a little more training, more resources, a little more time to prepare themselves for being a foster parent. So we think that's a great deal, and we're very much in support of that.
So, I mean, presently, without this change, what happens? They don't get training. We just say, come pick up this kid, and that's it?
Well, they receive about 8 hours. They can receive 8 hours of training, depending on the provider who is providing the training for that particular foster family. For example, the children's shelter, we will not certify a family unless they have 56 hours of training. And so that's the standard that we hold ourselves to, but because we want to make sure our foster families have the right tools and skills
that they
need.
Well, what happens in this training?
They learn about working with children who've been abused, abandoned, and neglected. They may learn first aid and CPR. They may learn some discipline types of trainings and skills and tools to help them with the child. So, again, a bare minimum of training.
Okay. So, Senator Uresti, up in Austin, is this a training issue for relatives in foster care? Is that something that you're seeing progress on?
It's a big issue, and I will tell you, Kim does a wonderful job as well, representing our kids that find themselves in these sad situations. But we've come a long way since I started working on this issue over, I guess, 12 years ago. When I say that, what I mean is the legislature has come a long way. We still have a long way to go, but more senators and more representatives realize how critical this is to the state of Texas and to take care of our kids. And so we've come a long way. The foster portion of it is really important. We have a number of kids that are aging out of foster care. The educational piece and the component for the parents, for the foster parents, is so important, so they understand that these kids, they're coming from a situation that is tragic, where maybe they've been abused, they've been neglected, they've seen somebody get killed, seen somebody get shot, etc. And so they have to understand, or they have their own, you know, they have special needs, that these are special kids and they need to be cared for in a certain way. So it's a component that we're looking at in the big puzzle as well. And I can comfortably say that we've done some wonderful work. We still have a lot of work to do, but the legislature has done some wonderful work over the last several years.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Andrea, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so very much for having me speak. I commend you people for everything that you're doing. I think that you do a wonderful job. I do have two children in foster care now. Finally at the end of the jumping through hoops, quote unquote, but hopefully they'll be home this month. I think that one of the things that would have helped my family and my children, one of whom is special needs, would have been trying to assist the family and keeping them in the home. I think that that would probably be the first step in cutting back on what the funding is that you need to spend to take care of these children. If somebody had offered his services, it would have been much easier than having our children ripped out of the home. My son was one of the ones that was, you know, had issues while in the original foster placement, and he was hospitalized. I don't want to get into it here, but I think that it's tragic in so many different ways, not just for the children, but for the families also, for the parents. And they're not always bad parents. They just need a little bit of assistance. And I think that training the caseworkers in how to keep the family together would be a good way to spend the money. At least a portion of it, and that would, you know, help cut back on what the state needs to come up with to care for these children. I think making it a not-for-profit thing would be good, and I'm interested to hear what the panel's thoughts is. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Andrea, thank you for calling. I appreciate it, and congratulations on your return of your children. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Senator Yedeste, Andrea's talking about she really would have benefited from preventiveness, some more attention to her needs, before taking the children away. So this is something that if more energy can be put and resources put into that area, you could actually save money down the line and also do less disruption to families?
She's exactly right. And we're doing a better job of doing home visitations, providing family-based services that calls for resources, of course. But there's some families where the children don't have to be removed, but they're struggling. They need a helping hand. They need assistance with daycare, for example, some job training. So those are the things that we're doing better, and I think we've come a long way. So you don't always have to remove these kids, because when they end up in foster care, as Annette talked about, I mean, it gets very expensive. More importantly, it's tearing that child away from, you know, her family, and that's traumatic in itself. So I think we're doing a better job. She hit the nail on the head, and I think you're seeing our caseworkers getting trained better, and that's going to be one of our emphasis coming out of this legislative session, is to give them better training, mentoring, on-the-job training, so they can fully understand and comprehend the situations that they're finding themselves in.
Another caller, Claire, has called in. Claire, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey. I have been a volunteer at the Children's Shelter for 15 years, and I just wanted to say they do an awesome job with the kids. You know, a lot of times they come in and they're very, very traumatized, and we'll have them there for 2 or 3 months, and it's just amazing the difference in those children when they leave us. You know, a lot of times I work mostly with the toddlers, so we teach them to walk, we teach them to say a few words, and it's such a rewarding feeling that I would just like to invite anybody who wants to volunteer to please look into it, because we could definitely use more volunteers.
Okay, Claire, thank you for calling in. Appreciate those comments. So, you know, Annette Rodriguez, you're the CEO of the San Antonio Children's Shelter. How many volunteers do y'all have out there?
We have over 100 active volunteers, but we can always use more. And we always invite corporate groups to come out and do a day activity with the children. It's always nice to be able to have different adults working around our kiddos.
So, Kim Abernathy over at the Child Safe, what about additional resources for these advocacy organizations like yours, and better coordination with like law enforcement and groups that you work with?
Well, first of all, can I say something about the training too? I think that is really important, and we've noticed, I think, there's a twofold that we train all new CPS workers that come into Bexar County. And I think that I've seen an effort at DFPS, not only in training, but to retain the workers, because that's one of the issues. Workers turn over so quickly, you get them trained and they're gone. And so I see that happening. And and what was the first
question? And about advocacy.
And for us, we're very excited because Commissioner Spezia recommended something. It was not a bill, but some additional funding to help children's advocacies, to give them some more funds to help coordinate the cases. And so I know that Senator Uresti has been a supporter of that, so we're happy to see that.
So, Senator Uresti, I'm running out of time here, but is this something that has bipartisan support, getting more resources for Child Protective Services? I mean, it shouldn't matter what your political stripes are, right?
Well, because those kids don't know they're Democrats or Republicans yet, and so it shouldn't matter. And it has had complete bipartisan support. Senator Schwartner is the chair of Health and Human Services. He's a Republican. Of course, I'm a Democrat. Senator Nelson, she's a Republican, chair of Finance. The governor is a Republican. And I'm just so pleased that they've made this one of their top priorities, and they're putting their money where their mouth is, and that's so important. And the last thing I'll say is we're so blessed to have the different groups with it, here in San Antonio and Bexar County to take care of our kids, because I know we're the envy of the other counties when it comes to that.
Well, Senator Uresti, thank you so much for joining us. Also, Annette Rodriguez, CEO of the Children's Shelter, and Kim Abernathy, President and CEO of Child Safe. This is The Source.